You're listening to AW360, a podcast from Advertising Week. Recorded in studio and live at Advertising Week's global events, AW360 features thought leadership conversations with the best and the brightest in the advertising, marketing, and technologies industries each and every week. If you enjoy AW360, we'd appreciate it if you took the time to subscribe on your podcast platform of choice and maybe even leave a positive review. Thanks for listening. Sarah, welcome to the AW360 podcast. I'm so pleased to have you on today.
Thank you, Richard. I'm really happy to be here.
So you're president of Doremus & Company. Tell us about Doremus & Company and what you do there.
Yeah, well, so Doremus is a full funnel B2B agency. We've been doing B2B marketing for over 120 years. We are the B2B specialist that works across all of Omnicom. And we are one of the longest standing agencies across the network.
Amazing. 120 years. Wow. And how long have you been president?
About a year. So, cannot take credit for the last, 119, but, as we move into our 121st year, we see a lot of change that's happening across the marketplace, and Doremus has always evolved its capabilities and services and expertise to meet the new and emergent needs of B2B marketers across the board. So it's been a lot of fun. I have to say, this isn't my first time working with Doremus. It is my first time working for them. I had been at Omnicom before working for a brand consultancy called Interbrand. I worked with them for about 8 years. And Interbrand was, really well known for large enterprise B2B clients, specifically within technology. And our partnership with Doremus was key. As we were building brands and products to deploy into market, Doremus was a perfect partner for us to bring into our clients to talk about how we would deliver that brand into market and how we would connect that brand across the key audiences that they were looking to build and cultivate relationships with. And I was always taken by the rigor and intellect of that partnership with Doremus in the past. And so I was really pleased to be joining them to take them into the next iteration of who we are going to be, in moving into the next few years.
Well, on the technology note, let's dive into that a little bit. So as I understand it, you're a Silicon Valley native. I always ask anybody who's from that area, what types of things have you seen, that inform your position today from being around that culture?
So, thank you for asking that question. Funny enough, not a lot of people ask me that. I was raised in the Silicon Valley in the 80s and early 90s. It was a very different place back then than it is today. My father was a dentist. My mom was a college counselor. They did not work in technology, but that does not mean that it was, pervasive across my adolescence. Whether it was different family members working in technology, whether it was my parents' friends or my friends' parents, working not only in the technology sector, but analogous industries that were surrounding it and in support of it. It was this, kind of omnipresent conversation and discussion that was being had around me, and one that constantly piqued my interest. And so I think that when I came back to San Francisco and took my first agency job working for a small agency that supported high-tech companies down in the Silicon Valley and utilized communication, creativity, and design to democratize what that technology could do for businesses and the way that they operate, for the way that we as consumers engage with those businesses or even each other. I felt that there was a real power in creativity and design and communications that was lacking while I was growing up in the Silicon Valley.
Interesting. And where did you go in between, just out of curiosity?
Well, I went to university at the University of Virginia. So I lived in Charlottesville for about 4 years. I moved to Australia, wow. Which was quite delightful after I graduated from university and worked for a sports marketing entity company down there. And then I worked and took a tiny little stint in New York City working for a fashion company, doing PR and marketing for them. And I realized that I was a California native and I couldn't handle New York winters. So I came running back to San Francisco and jumped right back into technology, but really started to land my focus in the communication side of it. And I felt that, you know, this was the first job that I took back at this agency in San Francisco, where I was surrounding myself by such unbelievable thinkers, unbelievable creative minded individuals, people that thought fundamentally differently than I did, but coming together to help kind of codify what this technology was going to deploy and how it was going to have tentacles that would reach across all facets of society, and working with people that came up with ideas that I couldn't even imagine coming up with on my own. That's when I fell in love with our industry and the work that I've been doing for the last 20 years.
Well, you picked an amazing time in the history of technology and the Valley, for that matter, to make a comeback. That's for sure. I mean, with just so many things going on. And on that note, you know, as president of a B2B agency, there has to be a lot of challenges and new challenges. I mean, you know, even after only a year there, that you're seeing on the horizon. Number one, what are those challenges in your mind? And number two, how are you working to navigate them?
Very true, right? Like, it's an incredibly challenging market right now with a lot of economic headwinds that marketers are facing. And I would have to say, like, unfortunately, at this stage, everyone is just fighting for a smaller piece of the pie. You know, there's a significant amount of pressure on B2B marketers to drive performance, but at the same time, building their brand for the current and future state of the company, because no one wants to look at this moment as the only moment in time, right? We are looking at how do we hedge our bets today so that we can evolve and like continue to build and grow into tomorrow. And so what I see is that there's a real need to identify that right balance, which can be very tricky, especially when you have like short and long-term KPIs coming down from the board at a rapid pace, and they sometimes can be in conflict with each other. So, you know, at Doremus, we work with a lot of amazing B2B marketers, and a lot of them are asking us, you know, how do I step out of performance? Like, I don't want to talk about brand to demand, right? I need to start thinking about how I shift my marketing organization from just being a function of sales, which it absolutely has to do, but ultimately to become a true driver of the business growth overall. And we agree, right? You know, marketers should be in service of the entire organization. The brand should be a North Star that goes beyond sales. It creates a lens for new vertical opportunities, new market penetration ideas, new innovations that can be deployed across R&D. You know, it is a powerful asset that can be leveraged across an organization. And so what we like to do is to help our clients kind of stitch all of these pieces together. Everything from the larger vision setting of an organization that creates connection with the broader audiences, to educating across the suite of products and services through really pointed and focused content strategy that deepens your relationships with current customers and new product prospects, and to commercializing opportunities into customers. And this is what is now seen as truly integrated B2B marketing. You know, it is not only builds love and trust in your brand, but is a major driver of growth across the business.
What advice would you give to somebody else in your industry that is struggling with just that? How would you share your experiences so far and your successes in kind of clearing that hurdle with them? Because I actually hear this a lot as a very common, I don't want to call it a complaint, but as a frequent issue that arises, especially lately.
I mean, it's an exceptional question, right? And I think you can, you know, look at those hurdles as internal hurdles as much as external hurdles, right? Like, so, yeah. You know, internally, like educating a global organization around the power of brand and how it could be deployed across their business units, especially in a B2B tech company, it's quite a challenge, right? Because within those companies, product and sales are king. And like, as long as they're creating traction and driving growth, you know, the brand and the marketing is seen as a service of those functions. Now, if you are a fast growing SaaS company and you're making major traction by selling products to IT decision makers, but ultimately there's a business transformation where you're trying to sell a suite of products or an ecosystem of services to a C-suite audience, that's when the power of brand comes in. That's when an understanding of what that product can do today, but the future growth of what that software company is going to build tomorrow is the sweet spot. And so we really help our clients define who you are today, but what you're going to stand for tomorrow. Always have that North Star and build a sequence of content that educates across very particular products and services that are going to change your current audience's life today for the better, but help them through thought leadership share up into their C-suite the value exchange that is going to be developed by the innovation roadmap that you've deployed across your organization. And then further down the funnel, do not forget your sales team. Equip them with the messaging, the content, and the tools that they need so that they can go ahead, like they can utilize your marketing engine so that they can meet their KPIs and continue to deepen their relationships with their customers.
I know for a fact my sales team's going to listen to this and go, yeah, stop forgetting about us all the time.
You can never forget about them.
Let's jump over to what is really the biggest, hottest topic, for better or for worse, or maybe a little bit of both, in our industry today, artificial intelligence. Are you using it right now within your organization? And if so, how?
So yes, you know, of course we're using AI. I don't think that there's any company out there today that is not utilizing this technology in some way to just understand it, right? We are in the infancy of what this product is going to be and how it's going to change the way that we as business leaders operate, but ultimately we as human beings operate. And so, you know, we like to be on the forefront of emergent technology. We want to help our clients understand it and help them kind of think about how to integrate it in their inside of their marketing engines.
Yeah, I'm particularly curious about your perspective on AI, just, you know, because of your upbringing, because of where you are and, you know, the businesses you're, you know, dealing with. But do you feel that there's industries that are more ripe for transformation by AI than others? And if so, what would those be?
Yeah, I mean, I love that question. I would say that I am hopeful and optimistic that healthcare will be the first industry that is transformed by this technology. You know, it is an industry that is desperate for transformation and one where I feel this technology could have the greatest amount of impact for humanity. You know, not just in the capability that this technology can have in early detection of disease, enabling physicians to provide better patient care. It's quite spectacular. But at the same time, I am really hopeful that this technology will start to erode at the inefficiencies that are built within the administration of our healthcare systems and enable the cost of entry for patient care to come down so that we can create a more inclusive and accessible healthcare system in the United States, which I know both of us know that that is an extremely large challenge that we have been facing for a number of years. So that for me would be, in my heart of hearts, I'm really hoping that that's the number one industry where we're going to see this change happening. But of course, you're going to see it starting to impact financial services and enabling very personalized products and services to be deployed across different types of investors and bankers. And then, of course, retail. I always love seeing what retail does with emergent technology, because they've been at the forefront of transformational change and integrating new technologies as they're deployed into market across their businesses to deepen their relationships with customers and drive new customer acquisition, whether that's been VR or AR or mixed reality or being on the forefront of e-com. You know, retailers, I think, are the ones to be looking to see, you know, how they bring these innovations to market and start to think about how that can transform yours. However, I'm saying this with a big caveat, because in terms of AI, you know, this particular technology is industry agnostic. So we're really kind of all in this together, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, we don't have the full vision of what this technology is going to do today. We do not know the end game. But what we do know is we are in stage one of the next greatest technological transformations of our time. And that we, as agency leaders and marketers, are trying to stay ahead of that, not only on behalf of our clients, but on behalf of our own industry. So it's a really exciting time, but one that I think, you know, I am really hopeful we'll have some government intervention coming soon so that we can see some regulations being deployed across the board, you know, to help protect us, to protect our kids, to protect ourselves, to protect our businesses and our societies. But most importantly, to let us know what the playing field is. And then we can start to think about how best to compete and operate in a new landscape that is going to be defined by AI.
Yeah, that really does seem like the missing piece of the puzzle right now, through and through, doesn't it?
It truly is. It truly is. And I am hopeful, Richard, that after seeing what happened with social media and the lack of regulation and understanding of what this technology can do and how it has been incredibly harmful to our kids, that our regulators are not going to let that happen again.
How do you see the industry itself evolving over the course of the next year to 5 years? And you can pick any, you know, particular time period range you'd like. But what kinds of challenges and I think successes do you think we'll see as an industry as a whole?
That's a great question. You know, I think as AI starts to become a fundamental aspect of how our industry makes things, making being the key word, I think our value as marketers, creators, agency leaders, strategists, media specialists is really going to be deployed in the thinking, the expertise, the layer that sits on top of the AI tool. And I think you'll start to see things moving towards a more consulting model, or more consultative model that is going to leverage technology, but amplify the humanity that needs to sit on top of it. And I think that that's where our sweet spot always has been and always will be.
Excellent answer. Very excellent answer.
Thank you.
Sarah, I appreciate you taking the time to be on the show today. This has been a pleasure. If one wanted to find out more about you, where would they go?
Go to Doremus.com. And you can email me at sarah.lent@doremus.com.
Thanks for listening to AW360. For more podcasts like this one, be sure to check out Advertising Week's ever-growing roster of podcasts for the advertising, marketing, and technology industries, including our flagship podcast, Great Minds. You can find those at www.advertisingweek.com/podcasts.